Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a speaking God. Our prayer this evening is you'd speak to us through your word, that we'd understand that the problem of sin and understand the cross for ourselves and live trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, let's just have a, I did a children's talk this morning, and so here's a slide that came from this morning. What have these four pictures got in common? There's a picture of this year's Cambridge Women's Crew, and there is a boat there, really. There's Mr. Cameron, our Prime Minister, with the words Panama Papers under his picture. There's old Mother Hubbard with her bare cupboard. And there's a cat looking at a mouse at close range. And as we look at those four pictures, what would you say the Cambridge Women's Crew, David Cameron, old Mother Hubbard, and the mouse have in common? Well, I'll put you out of your misery. I won't make you look at it. It is that they've all got a big problem, okay? And that's great. And then, well, in our true story from the Bible today, God's people are facing a big problem. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at the Bible and see what that problem is and how God deals with it. And our passage is pages 158 and 159 of the Church Bible. So let's turn to it. Let's turn to it together. It's Numbers 21, and we're starting from verse 4, which Dave began the reading. Just have a look at verse 4. They travelled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go round Edom. So the people, what we find, are on a journey. They're at a point, the journey from Egypt to the land of Canaan, to the land that God has promised them. And as they are nearing the end of their journey, when they come to the land of Edom, and Moses asks the king of Edom if they could have permission to cross his land, because this would make their journey shorter. But the king of Edom refused to allow them to take this shortcut across his land. And he even sends an army to stop the Israelites from taking this shortcut across his land. And it meant that the people had to do a really long detour, a very long way round. It would have been so easy for them, easy peasy as I put it this morning, if they had been allowed to take the shortcut. But instead, because of the king of Edom's intransigence, they had to go the long way round. And the people got fed up. Just look at verse 4, at the top of page 159. But the people grew impatient along the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." So what do you think that the people think that their problem was at this point in the story? But it does sound as if they've got a huge problem, doesn't it? God's people are in the desert, they don't have a home, they have no food, they have no bread, there's no water, and they're probably tired out. And it's quite easy as we listen to verse 4 and 5 to feel rather sorry for them. But just think about it for a moment, just hang on. That's what they say their problem is. But what is their real problem? Now just think what God has done. The people had been slaves in Egypt, and God had saved them from slavery and had set them free. And then the Lord had parted the Red Sea so they could go through it, and he defeated their enemies who were pursuing them. And the Lord led his people by a pillar of cloud so they knew where to go along the journey through the desert, and he gave them everything they needed in the desert. Water when they were thirsty, and he gave them food to eat, manna, so they wouldn't go hungry. And all they needed to do was to pick it up. And just before our story starts, at the beginning of chapter 21, when an enemy army attacked the Israelites, the Lord helped them to defeat their enemies. So this is the amazing God that whom they are following and that they had. And he had showed them that he wouldn't let them down. And they should have known that. But look again at our passage at verse 4. The people grew impatient on the way. In other words, verse 4 is telling us that God isn't doing anything wrong. No, it was them. And it was a serious thing that they were doing. Just look at verse 5. They spoke against God and against Moses. They grumbled. They grumbled against God. So they thought that their problem was their situation. But what was their real problem? Their real problem, the big problem that they were facing, is their sin. Their hard-heartedness towards God and their grumbling. And we can be like the Israelites too. We can grumble against God as well. Maybe we grumble at the food we eat. Oh no, we're not having that again, are we? But we have to remember that it's God who gives us our food to eat. So when we moan about it, we're speaking against God. Instead, we ought to be thanking him. That's why we have people ought to say grace before having food, to thank God for the food to eat. Maybe some of us are employed and we moan about our job, that the work is boring or there's too much of it to do. Or maybe we just moan about the chores that we have to do. Or maybe it's a new school term restarts. School children, parents and their teachers moan. Oh, not the start of a new term and double mass or whatever it is. But when we moan, we are speaking against God. He is the one who has given us work to do. And instead, we ought to be thanking him that we've got work to do. Maybe we grumble because we want, I don't know, a different bedtime, because we want more money, because maybe we just grumble about our friends or family or even our church family, because they are not like us, because they actually like us are not perfect. But when we grumble, what we're actually doing is grumbling against God. For it is God who has given us friends, put us into a family, and into a church family. So instead, we ought to thank him for giving us friends, family, and a church family. And our problem, the big problem that we face, is sin. Now, sometimes we're really quite clever about it. We're careful not to grumble out loud, but inside we're ungrateful, we're demanding, and we think that we haven't got what we deserve. And our attitude of our heart is completely wrong. Our big problem is our sin. And the thing is, we think that in our heart and in our mind, that this sin of grumbling isn't as serious as, say, stealing or lying or being violent. But it is serious. If we grumble, we're grumbling against God. We're saying, the Lord has made a wrong decision about me. We're saying, if I were in charge, if I were God, I would make a much better job of it. Now, if we ask ourselves, what is sin? What does it stand for? We sometimes teach the children like this, that S of sin stands for shove off God. And that the I of sin stands for I'm in charge. And that the N of sin stands for no to your rules. So sin is really saying to the Lord, shove off God, I'm in charge, no to your rules. And it's a big problem. And that's exactly what we're saying to God when we grumble. Grumbling is sin, and sin is serious. And that's the big problem of sin. And that's the first thing that our Bible passage is teaching us, is that the Israelites' big problem and our big problem is sin. The second thing we learn from our true Bible story is that sin deserves death. Sin deserves death. Just look at verse 6. Please. Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. Well, verse 6 is a verse that ought to take our breath away. What a punishment. Now, you may know from the Bible that when Satan first tempted man, that man's enemy took the form of a snake. And the snake was a symbol of power among the Egyptians on the Pharaoh's headdress. So the Lord sending venomous snakes would have had lots of meaning for the people who were not long out of Egypt. God was giving his people a message when he sent the snakes. He was saying, you don't want to go back under the power of slavery and sin again, do you? So God is saying, sin deserves death. It is that serious. And this is what the great God of the universe, who is perfect, who's made us, who loves us, who's given us everything that we have, this is what he thinks. He says that sin needs to be punished. Sin deserves death. And he's right. Our sin, your sin and my sin deserves death. Now maybe you've been listening and you think, oh, you know somebody in church who you think grumbles a lot, and you think, oh good, I hope that Fred or Frieda is listening to this. They really need to take this on board. No, what God says is not for Fred or for Frieda, it's for you and for me. It's for each one of us to listen and to take to heart and apply to ourselves. Where I have a grumbling heart, where you have a grumbling heart. So if a friend of ours is talking about a problem or something they're finding hard, we shouldn't be quick to decide that their problem is not serious and then to judge them and decide that they're grumbling. And we're probably all guilty of this. We can be very quick to do this, and we shouldn't. It's for us, each of us, to apply to ourselves. So our Bible passage tells us that sin is the big problem, and that sin deserves death. It needs to be punished. And that sounds like pretty bad news, but the third wonderful truth of the Bible passage is that our God is gracious. God is gracious. And he provides a way to be rescued. Just look at verse 7. The people came to Moses and said, we sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us. Thankfully, God brought these people to their senses. And they admitted that their sin was against him and they were sorry. And we need to do that too. We need to realize that we are sinful and admit our sin to God. If you have never admitted your sin to God, you need to do that. If you don't, then like the Israelites, you face death because that is what sin deserves. So what happens when people do admit their sin? Well, look how gracious and kind the Lord is when the people don't deserve it. Just look at verse 8, please. The Lord said to Moses, make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. You see, God loved his people so much that he provided a way for the people to be rescued. So if someone was bitten, they needed to look at the bronze snake on the pole and trust the promise God had given, and they would be healed. If they refused to look, if they thought that they didn't need God, then they would die. If they realized they needed God for their sins to be forgiven and believed his promise and looked at the snake on the pole, they would live. And God is gracious to us too. Even though we are sinful and our sin deserves death, God loves us so much that he provides a way for us to be rescued, which is great news. God sent Jesus to die on the cross in our place, to take the punishment that each one of us deserves. And look what Jesus said, just to John chapter 3 and verse 14. A memorable, if you know your history, it's a memorable verse. Verse 14. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. So Jesus was saying that he would be lifted up to die on the cross to rescue everyone who believes in him, and that's the way for our sin to be forgiven. So just as the Israelites had to look at the bronze snake and trust God's promises to live, we need to trust the promises that he made. Just as the Israelites couldn't do anything about their sin on our own, we can't do anything about our sin. But the great news is that we have a gracious God who loves us and who has provided a way for us to be rescued. So let's make sure that we're all trusting in Jesus' death on the cross to be forgiven. And let's remember the promise Jesus makes that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. And let's rejoice in that. As we sit, let's just pray. Father, we thank you that you're a gracious God. Thank you that you love us, although we are sinners, and our sin deserves death. Thank you that you will rescue anyone who will trust your promise. Help us to believe the promise that forgiveness is found by trusting in Jesus' death on the cross. Please help us to put our trust in him and to rejoice in him. Amen.